This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Your radio doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on your radio doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Overcoming great challenges like COVID-19 requires great cooperation. This is Dan Hilferty, CEO of Independence Blue Cross. Most of us never imagined we'd be facing an outbreak of this magnitude. But in the face of this challenge, hospitals, public officials, and business leaders have come together. Through effective cooperation, these leaders are taking steps to keep us safe. Slowing the rate of infection from the virus will help hospitals care for those who need attention most. Remember, stay home. Leave only for essential needs. Stay informed from sources like the CDC or Department of Health. Take a break from watching the news. Stay well, exercise, and practice self-care to make sure you're physically and mentally fit. In our great region, we have a tradition of caring for each other and cooperating to get things done. We'll do it again now. For more, visit ibx.com/COVID-19. Together, we will beat COVID-19.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. From the Malamud and Associates Law Studios, it's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor. On call every Sunday morning at 10. This is your radio doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Good morning and welcome to Your Radio Doctor on this beautiful Sunday. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas celebration, and I hope Santa found you. Try to set aside some time to relax during this festive week. A special thank you to our exclusive sponsor, Independent Blue Cross, for their support this year. Several weeks ago, we had a fantastic hour-long interview with Dan Hilferty. Since then, he stepped down as the CEO of Independence, but during the 10 years under his leadership, he made outstanding contributions to the company, to the city of Philadelphia, and to the future of healthcare. He's one of the most influential business leaders in the greater Philadelphia area. But I think people will also remember Dan as a genuinely good person, a man of kindness, and a man of service. For those who didn't hear it before, stay tuned and enjoy it now. Mr. Daniel J. Hilferty, President and CEO of Independence Health Group, the parent of Independence Blue Cross, one of the nation's leading health insurers. 10 years have passed since he accepted this leadership role, and during that time, the company has tripled in size, with a presence in 27 states and Washington, D.C., serving over 8 million members, and a budget that grew by 75% from $9 billion when he began in 2010 to $16 billion in 2018. But aside from being one of the most influential business leaders in the greater Philadelphia area, I think people will remember Dan Hilferty as a genuinely good person, a man of kindness, and a man of service. Joining us today is Dan Hilferty himself to talk about the growth of Independence, the outstanding contributions he's made to the company and to the city of Philadelphia, along with his vision for the future of healthcare. It gives me great pleasure to welcome my dear friend, Mr. Dan the Man Hilferty. Welcome, Dan. So glad you can join us.
Well, Dr. Ritchie, Marianne, it's great to be with you, and thank you for that kind introduction. I'm really thrilled to have this conversation. We've known each other for far too long to admit, but you've just been a leader in your own right, in the not only in the medical field, but every endeavor that you tackle in your life. So I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Well, thank you, Dan. But before we talk about your years at the Independence Blue Cross Company, tell us a little about your background.
Well, Marianne, I'm the youngest of five children. My father, John Hilferty, was a lawyer. He passed away in 1960 when I was 3 years old. You're very familiar with my uncle, Dr. Dan Hilferty, who was an internist at Fitzgerald Mercy Hospital for decades. And so he had a large influence on not only me, but my four siblings. My mother, did an incredible job, in my opinion, as a single mom raising us. We moved to Ocean City, New Jersey, where I was went through most of grade school and high school, St. Augustine Prep in Richland, New Jersey, then came back to Philadelphia to go to St. Joseph's, served a year and plus in the Jesuit Volunteer Corps in Portland, Oregon, and then went to graduate school at the American University, where I studied government and public affairs. And really have had a series of professional and personal experience that revolve around supporting efforts to improve communities, and realized that I wanted to be in an industry that they're really focused on serving communities, public policy and politics, and where I had a chance to lead. And healthcare just jumped out as the perfect place to go. But more importantly, I've been married to my wife, Joan, for 36 plus years. We have five children and three grandchildren, and we spend a lot of time with them, although the pandemic has made us change the way we interact, as it has all of us. So that kind of sums me up in a few short minutes.
Well, so many blessings, but it's still a lot of hard work. You're a born leader, Dan, and if I may say so, very charismatic, and that's what people are drawn to about you. So many life experiences have shaped your approach to business in one respect, but healthcare in particular. Tell us about that.
Well, Marian, it's so interesting, and really, you and I got to know each other at St. Joseph's University, mm-hmm. and I remember a Jesuit by the name of Father Ed Brady, who ran the Faith and Justice Center at St. Joseph's, and really opened my eyes up to the potential of having an impact. Now, he served in places like India and other remote places around the world, but he brought it home for me to the communities that were near us at St. Joseph's. And it just really shaped me in a way that I realized we're not alone on this journey, that there are others that are either less fortunate or have barriers, which we now think of in healthcare terms, the barriers that folks face. And I just always thought that I wanted to be part of those communities' efforts to advance themselves, be it economically, educationally, or just breaking down the traditional barriers between different peoples, diverse peoples. And so it really started at St. Joseph's, and then having the time as I ran the St. Andrew Community Center in the heart of the ghetto of Portland, Oregon. Very interesting, diverse community. It was African-American, American Indian, Hispanic, Caucasian, significant homelessness because of the moderate weather. And it was like a melding pot there of these different cultures, these different issues that the community faced. And for me, it was just being on the front line of community service, and it's been part of my DNA, so to speak, since and every whether it was pursuing a graduate degree in government and public affairs or pursuing various jobs, mainly in the healthcare space, but also in higher education. And I did work for a period of time in government for Governor Bob Casey back in the late 80s. All those things have shaped kind of who I am.
Well, we look back, Dan, and as you say, we met at St. Joseph's College, back when it was a college, and you were a great student,
exactly.
A basketball star. I think I have to be your stage mother here and brag about you a little bit. and that's cool in any school, but in Philadelphia, Big Five hoops, that's the finest in the nation. But in your wildest dreams, did you ever think you'd be responsible for millions of people and during a pandemic? Your 10-year tenure was sandwiched between the recession of 2008 and your final year includes COVID. What life situation prepared you to deal with that combination of conditions?
Well, it's really interesting, Mary, and I think we can sum it up in a minute or so that really what it comes down to for me, we each have a certain set of gifts and a certain set of limitations. I feel very confident that I have a clear understanding of not only my strengths, but of my limitations. And by addressing any significant issue, it's important that you surround yourself with individuals who have strengths in areas where you maybe do not have strengths. And so creating this team, and it goes back to, by the way, I was not a great basketball player at St. Joe's. I mean, let's make sure we're clear about that. But
I cheered for you.
Oh, thank you. But by building a strong team, it gave me a level of confidence that we together could solve any issue, work through any challenge, and be successful at doing so. So that shaped me. It's, you're not alone if you have others that support you in these important endeavors.
And the mantra that we learned as St. Joe's students is to be a man or woman with and for others has stayed with you, and that shows. Dan, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
And we're back with Dan Hilferty from Independence Blue Cross. Dan, some big changes have happened during this decade that you've been the CEO, both in healthcare and in programs at Independence. Share a little bit about that with us, if you would.
Well, I think, Marianne, you're right, that when I look back at my 10 years, it was December 9th of 2010, the date that I assumed the role as president and CEO here. And it will be December 10th I started, December 9th, 2020, where I move on. And I'd have to say it has been the most challenging years in many respects. You referenced earlier the financial challenges of 2008 and recovery, but you look at that 10-year period of time from a healthcare perspective, the most radical changes in our healthcare system, I believe, for the better. However, we're on a journey. So the beauty for me was in this 10-year period being part of succeeding an incredible leader in Joe Frick, and really building off the foundation that he had put in place here and enabling us to overcome the challenges of 2008, and then positioning us to be national leaders in working with the then Biden administration, the Obama administration in terms of implementing the Affordable Care Act and the challenges associated with that. And now, as I wind down, you do have the Biden administration and a challenge of the Affordable Care Act in the Supreme Court, and whether or not the president, with the support of the private sector and Congress, will be able to broaden the Affordable Care Act, make it even more effective. Oh, and by the way, heap on top of that, the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the challenges that that's created for all of us, particularly those of us in the healthcare space. And at some point, I'd like to talk about, out of these challenges, some of the neat opportunities that we see, and I'm excited about, not only our company, but the industry as a whole, addressing for the people we serve. But it's been just an incredible ride. I've had the opportunity to sit with three presidents to discuss in the White House, to discuss the healthcare and healthcare reform. I've had the opportunity to chair Independence, as you know, as part of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. I've had the opportunity to chair the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. And closer to home in these difficult times, I've had the opportunity to chair the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce over the past 2 years. So those 10 years have been wrought with challenges, but also been exciting times of great change and innovative opportunities to innovate in the healthcare space and the community as a whole.
The last 10 years have been remarkable. I know I've worked in Philadelphia for 17 years at Temple and Jefferson. And during that time, I have seen Independence become a pillar in the structure of the city. You're a partner in every major project. And our listeners should know, many do, that you played a large role in bringing Pope Francis and the World Meeting of Families to Philadelphia in 2015. The Democrats had their convention in 2016. And as you say, in your spare time, you were the chair of the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce. It's pretty remarkable. And I think, too, the other trends that are happening in medicine, the emphasis on preventive care and lowering the cost for drugs and as you said, community collaboration all combined are really changing medicine exponentially. So this December, you'll be stepping down as CEO of Independence. What are some of the achievements you're most proud of?
Oh, Marianne, thank you for asking that question. I'd have to put them in a handful of buckets. First and foremost, that I just had the opportunity to lead this incredible organization. And from the board on down, our chairman, Charlie Pizzi, and prior to him, Walter D'Alessio, really challenged us as a management team to be a force in the community. We not only believe it's the right thing to do, we believe it's good business. And it helps us engage our members in a way that they understand how important Independence is to the community, and that we are there for them for whatever healthcare need they may have. So being able to lead this great company, work with an incredible team of executives on down through the organization. I mean, you just recently or will be mentioning Deanne Riley Giddens, who works for Independence, and she's amazing. In 2019, she donated almost 315 hours of volunteer services through our Blue Crew that works in the community. It's the very fabric of who we are as an organization. Hundreds of our associates are out there volunteering on their own time to improve the community. So that would be number one. I would say number two, the opportunity to be part of the effort to bring Pope Francis here to Philadelphia. And by the way, again, a team approach. I mean, a guy by the name of Bob Sharufoli, who the Archbishop tabbed to run it. Donna Crilly Farrell, who just did an amazing job of really leading us all to work closely with the Vatican and bring the Pope here. I can name several. Yousef Mehta, Joe Neubauer, just an incredible influence. Brian Roberts, David Cohen, Rhonda Cohen, my wife Joan, and others. Susie Mehta. We all came together to support this effort, and it was a monumental task. And Philadelphia pulled it off, and Philadelphia did it in a way that really showed the world that we were becoming an international city. And I truly believe, pre-pandemic, we were well on the way to, in the 17 years you mentioned you've been here, just think of the change in the skyscape, the change in the dining opportunities, the change in the cultural activities. It's just been incredible. So the Pope would be second. I would say third would be having the opportunity to serve as chair of the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce. It really, for me, was a pinnacle opportunity in my career at Independence, and enabled me to further the work of Independence with the business community, with the civic community, in making sure that we reached out. Our motto was that we wanted to lift the entire city, every single neighborhood included, an inclusive growth agenda. So I'm really proud of that. And then the DNC, you know, I as a moderate Republican, the one thing you learn when it's about the economic when it's about the economy of a region, the opportunity of a region to shine, political labels go out the door, and real hardworking people, again, you know, Ed Rendell and Governor Rendell and David Cohen and many others pulled together to make that Democratic National Convention one of the best conventions in the history of conventions. In fact, it was the first Democratic convention in several to actually end it with a surplus. And so I would say that I'm very, very proud of that. But really, what it gets down to, it gets back to what we were talking about earlier in our discussion, that Independence has always prided itself on the work we do right in the communities we serve. We developed an initiative in North Philadelphia with Project Home to work on the crisis of folks having to live on the streets. We've worked aggressively with Mercy Hospital and Penn Medicine and others in West Philadelphia to establish a behavioral health hub for the residents of West Philadelphia. We're working closely in other parts of the city with civic and community organizations to improve access to high quality health care, break down barriers for all folks who live in the Philadelphia region. And I would say that they are the things that really, when I lay my head on the pillow at on December 9th after our board meeting, I will reflect on those opportunities that I've had to be part of a team that made significant change, positive change.
You'll rest peacefully. And we could spend an entire hour on some of the specifics that I jotted down. The Independence Blue Cross Foundation this year, it was the second annual BPHL Innovation Fest, where you bring people from around the country and the world. And, you know, we keep looking for lessons, not silver lining, but lessons from COVID. By changing the whole festival to Zoom, you were able to bring people from around the world more easily. And people brought ideas about healthcare and technology and the arts. Mind PHL together, mindful together. The city of Philadelphia, working with them, you were trying to reduce the stigma associated with the need for mental health support, especially during COVID when everyone is worried for different reasons. Special programs for the elderly, opioid addiction. And I think you've made it a special point to care, especially for your employees, too. A great role model for other companies. I know I've spoken at the Women for Independence lecture series. You have healthy recipes on your website, your program for walking at lunch. It just goes on and on. Let's take a little break, Dan, and we'll be right back.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed on radio.com. Listen to the show at your convenience. Go to radio.com and in the search bar type in Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
Sleigh bells ring, snow is glistening, so be sure that you're listening to Women to Watch, your radio doc on WPHT. Oh yeah, 1210 PHT. Happy holidays from Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Ho, ho, ho.
With Dan Hilferty from Independence Blue Cross. Dan, there's so many good things to share. Before we go on to talk about COVID, the obvious, let's continue talking a little bit about the center which you began, the Independent Center for Innovation, and talk a little bit more about the BPHL Innovation Fest. That's incredible.
Well, Marianne, I thank you for bringing that up. I think it's real important. When you think of all the incredible resources, just think of Jefferson Health System, Penn Medicine, all the areas where we're focused on gene and cell therapy. Think of all the opportunities along Market Street to really attract innovative companies, young, growing companies right here to Philadelphia. And I think the BPHL event, first in person last year and then done virtually this past year, we had people from all over the world participating mm-hmm. in the BPHL program. And it's not just about, hey, let's have a fun conversation about innovation, be it in the healthcare space or other arenas. It's about, no, come to Philadelphia, set your business up here, be part of our community. And so I'm so proud of what we were able to do with the BPHL event, and really applaud the city, applaud our team here at Independence, applaud the team at Comcast and many other organizations that really made it possible.
Well, when you create a think tank like that, it inspires other people and it stirs other people's creative juices. It's like I've said, it's a real think tank. So tell us, let's talk about COVID a little bit. We could spend an entire show just on COVID. But first, let's everyone take our hats off to your public service campaign. Your calming voice reminds people to wear a mask, wash hands, keep a safe distance, and that we're all working, as you've said so many times already, together. People feel more comfort in realizing that they're not alone. We're all mortal. We're all at risk, and we're going to care about each other. And Dr. Rich Snyder, by the way, also did a great ad. How would you say COVID has most affected the company and I guess, in healthcare overall?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for your comments on the ad the ad campaign and the commercials. For us, we felt this was a unique opportunity that we needed to step up and lead. And the feedback, you're right, Dr. Rich Snyder, Reverend Lorena Marshall Blake, my commercials have received tremendous positive feedback from the community. Just what we wanted to say is stay calm. We'll see our way through this. Mm-hmm. The healthcare system is here to help. But there are certain things that we have to take responsibility for, and whether it's wearing a mask or socially distancing or being smart about congregating with large groups, we just wanted to continue to send that message. So thank you for that. But when we look at COVID, and we talk about it a lot as a senior management team and as a company as a whole, we look at it this way, that the day in March where we made a decision that everybody would work remotely, mm-hmm. That wasn't something that we just came upon. For the past several years, we've been experimenting, sending portions of the customer service or the provider services areas of the company home to do trial runs. Mm-hmm. We have people who work remotely consistently. So when we had to flip that switch, we were pretty confident that we would be able to not miss a beat for the most part. And we were pleasantly surprised and continue to be pleasantly surprised that our workforce, our associates are as dedicated, are as diligent, and are as effectively serving our customers. Hey, we're not perfect. No company is perfect. But we're really pleased that during this time of pandemic, we have not missed a beat for the most part in terms of serving our members, at working with individual clinicians like yourself, and also working with the amazing health systems that we have in the region. So that was a learning there, that we if it was a pandemic or a storm or whatever it might be, that we will be able to meet the needs of our customers. Second thing is, we talked about the temporary new normal. And the temporary new normal we're all experiencing, where we're living virtually, we're having discussions virtually, I should say. We're not coming into our offices. And we thought, okay, how do we, A, support these incredible hospitals and health systems that are bearing the brunt of COVID-19 and the number of people that need intensive care in the inpatient setting? How do we assist them in meeting the needs of their customers? First and foremost is telemedicine. We all thought that telemedicine has great promise. We now firmly believe that telemedicine has a firm place in what will become the permanent new normal post-pandemic. One, we had to come up with a compensation structure that makes it worthwhile for clinicians, for health systems to engage in telemedicine. We're on the path to do that. Two, working with physicians and systems again, understanding what's appropriate for a virtual visit and when is there the need. I mean, you've told me in the past, Marianne, that you need many times to see your patient. And by looking in their eyes, having a conversation or appropriate touch, getting a sense of what's going on in their body. So finding that balance has been something that we continue to work on. I would say this, the thing for me individually and us as a company is we realize the importance of having a well-financed, a comprehensive response to those in mental crisis or suffering from behavioral health issues, drug and alcohol, substance abuse disorder. Sure. We need it in this virtual environment to make sure that they get connected to the professional they needed to be connected to. And so the things that you talked about our foundation doing in the past in terms of breaking down the stigma of reaching out for help if you're suffering from an addiction or other behavioral health issues, doing warm handoffs for folks who are in crisis to make sure they get to the right level of care. We firmly believe that part of our mission going forward, and Dr. Rich Snyder and my successor, Greg Devens, who will be an amazing CEO, are committed to building a comprehensive behavioral health offering that truly integrates the behavioral side of medicine with the physical side of medicine, and frankly, helps primary care physicians become the first point of contact for an individual who might think they have a physical ailment or comorbidity, but in reality, it is caused in large part by a behavioral health issue. And really, people talk about parity. We talk about integration of physical and behavioral in a more holistic and robust way.
Oh, we're taught to look at the whole person, cura personalis, as we say in the Jesuit institutions. Well, and I think it's important for patients, especially as you mentioned, those in crisis, to feel connected, but to stay connected, to know that we're there and we can see each other and look in each other's eyes. Dan, two questions in these final few minutes. I've been to Independence on several occasions, from meetings to give a lecture, and people just smile when I say your name. I'm here to see Mr. Hilferty, and you are obviously a man of the people. And I'm going to guess that when you share the elevator, that you say good morning to everyone and ask how they're doing. So when you look back, especially over these 10 years, two questions. What do you want people to remember about you and in your leadership and your career at IBX? And what would be something special about Philadelphia? I know how much you love Philadelphia. What would be something you'd share about Philadelphia to someone who's never been here?
Well, first, Marianne, I'm glad you referenced the elevators at Independence. One, we have sought over the last 10 years to create a campus feeling right here in Philadelphia. Well, with so many associates, I decided that the elevator was going to be the place that I engage people. Now, on a Monday morning, they're not real happy to hear me say, good morning, how you doing? What type of coffee do you have? But it's been rewarding for me, and I think for many of our associates. I would say when they think about what I would hope when they think about Dan Hilferty, that I was an honest yet flawed leader who had a vision for improving not only the lives of all of our associates, but improving the healthcare that's delivered throughout our community and beyond. And if that's how people remember me, I hope they smile and say that, you know what, he was just a regular guy, and I've always tried to not just portray that, but to be that. So I would say that. And about Philadelphia, I would just, as we move, and we will move post-pandemic to become a true international city, I would just say that come to Philadelphia. Our strength is in our neighborhoods. Our strength is in our ability to understand people from different backgrounds, from different races, to break down some of the barriers to helping us work together inclusively. And I would say, come to Philadelphia. You may have heard different things about us, but it's a place that truly is about bringing that neighborhood community spirit to everyone we encounter.
And the city of brotherly and sisterly love. I think you've said it very
exactly.
Well.
Well
done.
Exactly.
You. Let's take a little break, Dan, and we'll be right back.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. Dr. Marianne will return, but first, a medical message from one of our partners.
Hi, I'm Joe Krause. May you enjoy the spirit of this holiday season, and may 2021 bring you a year of hope and peace. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year.
Happy Holidays from Jacob Media Partners.
And in our last segment with... So happy to have Dan Hilferty from Independence. Dan, I know you love Philadelphia. What does the future hold for Dan Hilferty?
Oh, Marianne, that's a great question. I would say that, for 24 years, I've had the unique opportunity and pleasure to serve as CEO of first Amerihealth of Caritas and now Independence Blue Cross. Joan and I, we've been married for 36 plus years. We are looking forward to taking 3 or 4 months just to decompress, get as healthy, both physically, spiritually, as emotionally as we can, enjoy each other's company. And then I'm looking forward to reimagining how I can positively impact the communities that I've always been a part of. And Jenna have always, and our children have always been very much part of as well. And so I'm not sure what it means, but I do have interest, as you've heard, in mental and behavioral health and ensuring that people have access and we break down the stigma around getting behavioral health care. Two, I have a strong interest in the whole political, all things political, and I'd like to be part of in some small way, ensuring that we begin to have dialogue between a divided community, a divided nation, and do that to really build bridges, repair wounds, and build a brighter future. So I don't know what that means. And then I'm also interested in some entrepreneurial things. So just looking forward to some downtime, spending time with our children and our grandchildren, and then coming back after 3 or 4 months of rest and seeing where it takes us.
And with your IQ and your EQ and your experience, Dan, the world is opened and ready and hoping that you'll continue to share your talents and your humility. Because I think if people haven't learned from COVID to be humble, no one has the answer. Even next week, we don't know what path it will take. And I think as you keep reiterating, together is a much better formula than trying to be the one guy in this corner or the one gal in that corner with the answer. I have to share a quick story that emphasizes, as we said earlier, that Philadelphia is a big, small town. As you mentioned, your Uncle Dan Hilferty was a brilliant physician. He and I both went to St. Joe's, as did you, and then we went to Jefferson, and we knew each other from alumni events. And when I graduated from medical school, he gave me my doctor bag with my initials on it, and I cherish it to this day. Last year, as you remember, our daughter graduated from medical school. I gave her my doctor bag and had her monogram put under mine, and I told her it was from a man named Dr. Dan Hilferty. She looked at me and said, "Mom, our graduation speaker is Mr. Hilferty, Dan Hilferty." And I said, "Now, you, your Uncle Dan, and I were all St. Joe Hawks. And when Vicki Gordon went on stage for her diploma, she held up her 3-month-old baby in the air, and he waved his little arms like a St. Joe Hawk. Why? Because he's Thomas Joseph, and he was born on the feast of St. Joseph." And that's a wrap. How cool is that?
Wow.
Go Hawks. Hawk will never die.
Man, that is cool. Go Hawks. Thank you.
Well, thank you
that
so much.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. Thank you so
that
much for being
really
here
cool.
today, Dan. Stay well, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Marianne. You too, and thank you. You too for all that you do. Take care.
For your real champion, Ryan Mannion, the Gold Star sister. We often hear a moving story about a hero, but have you ever heard about an entire family of heroes? Travis Mannion, a local student attended LaSalle College High School, where he lettered in 3 sports and received the award for unselfish dedication and leadership from the Philadelphia Wrestling Association. At the U.S. Naval Academy, he won more awards as a top national wrestler and was recognized again for leadership and dedication. He graduated in 2004 and was deployed to Iraq in 2005. He returned safely but went back to Iraq in December of 2006. On April 29, 2007, his patrol was ambushed, and while pulling 200 Marines to safety, he lost his life to sniper fire. He was awarded the Silver Star and the Bronze Star with Valor. Soon after, his mother Janet formed the Travis Mannion Foundation. Travis' roommate at the Naval Academy, Brendan Looney, became his best friend and dedicated his own training as a Navy SEAL in Travis' honor. 3 years later, Brendan died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. Brendan's wife, Amy, requested that the two friends be buried side by side at Arlington National Cemetery. Initially, Travis' mother had him buried close to home, but to honor their memory, she brought her son Travis to Arlington and laid him to rest next to Brendan. Travis' father, Tom, retired Marine Corps colonel, found the courage to pay tribute with a eulogy at the Arlington ceremony. He called them warriors for freedom and brothers forever. The goal of the foundation is to honor the fallen by challenging the living. Though he was 15 months younger, Ryan always thought of Travis as her big brother, strong and caring, and when she speaks, it's from her soul. The foundation aims to empower veterans and families of the fallen to develop character in future generations and the community at large. Over 2,000 veterans educate students from middle school through college in the Character Does Matter program, More than 500,000 young people have learned about America's heroes and the heroes they can become. The foundation supports the mental health and well-being of vets, especially as they transition back to civilian life and feel part of a community. They give grants to families of fallen service members and hundreds of service projects, including food banks. Shortly after Travis and Brendan were lost, another young Marine named Robert Kelly died as he stepped on a landmine in Afghanistan. His father, four-star General John Kelly, the highest-ranking officer to ever lose a child to war. He served as White House Chief of Staff under President Trump and spoke publicly about the pain of his loss. Ryan and the two wives, Amy Looney and Heather Kelly, wrote a book, The Knock at the Door, Three Gold Star Families Bonded by Grief and Purpose. The three women share their stories so others can find resilience in times of challenge, be it loss of a loved one, a marriage, a job. Janet Mannion began the foundation in 2008, but lost her own battle to cancer in 2012. Ryan now serves as president of the foundation. She loved her brother, and she loves her country. Inspired by all the young men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, she wants the 99% of the population who don't serve to hear and understand the sacrifices of those who do serve. Just last week, Ryan was on the evening news. With COVID, a decision was made to cancel the annual Wreaths Across America. Since 1992, a Christmas wreath is placed on all 14,000 graves in Arlington, and Ryan, Gold Star families and members of Congress went to the Secretary of the Army. Ryan said, "The easy thing would have been to accept the decision, but the men and women who sacrificed never took the easy way out. So let's make this work." And when President Trump heard the news, he reversed the decision. Two of those wreaths marked the graves of Travis and his mother, Janet, who was laid to rest only a few steps away from her son. Just before leaving for his fatal tour in Iraq, Travis was asked why he wanted to serve, and he said, "If not me, then who?" Last week, I spoke to Ryan on the phone. As I listened to the story of Travis and her family, the tears flowed down my face. It felt good to be an American. We salute you, Travis, Tom and Janet, and Ryan Mannion, your real champions. Get involved or donate. TravisMannion.org. That's M-A-N-I-O-N, TravisMannion.org. Thanks for listening today. I hope you all had a wonderful Hanukkah and Christmas. This is a great week to slow down and enjoy your family if you're lucky enough to have this time together. A very special thank you to our guest, Mr. Dan Helferty, who just stepped down as president and CEO of Independence Blue Cross, our exclusive partner. And we're very excited to partner with Rothman Orthopedic Institute, who sponsors our weekly segment of Your Real Champion. Look for my article in Philly Voice this week to hear some tips about safe eating and drinking through the end of the holidays, especially as we're ready for New Year's Eve. Listen to all our podcasts from this year on yourradiodoctor.net and know that you have my very best wishes and prayers for a happy, healthy, peaceful new year. And always remember that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.